B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zolak and Bertrand.
We're sports show radio hosts.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Julie McGoins from the Boston Globe. Just kind of, you guys had storied careers in Boston, and just what do you take from that? And just, you know, what's your fondest memory of being in Boston? Both of you guys.
I mean, I have a lot of memories in Boston. Obviously, I'd say the most fond is the World Series. But, you know, from the debuts to, just ins and outs of every day being around Boston, I have so many memories. And so, that was a great chapter in my life for sure.
We won a lot of games. You know, we won three AL East division titles, and we were able to win a World Series in 2018. And for myself, 2018 was very special there at the end, and those are very, very good memories for myself.
Mookie, David Price, yesterday,
That's a tough day.
They went to L.A. before they then turn around and go to spring training. I thought that was a little weird.
I thought it was cool. Put them in the ballpark. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm surprised they made them do that. But there they were.
Kyrie didn't do that. Kyrie didn't do that when he got here. Remember, he just didn't have a press conference. Or no, when he went to Brooklyn. They didn't have a press conference down there. That's right.
Yeah, okay.
Get those big players, man. You roll them out.
Well, he was there. Mookie, David Price, they were there yesterday. And you said earlier it was a gut punch. For you personally, I just find so ridiculously laughing.
First of all,
because I don't know that anyone cares less about the Red Sox in this room than you.
I agree. And the part that pisses me off, I don't like Price. Okay, and we all don't like Price. But then to sit there and watch him not be a smirky prick, but to sort of embrace the day and lead the press conference, he was a natural. I'm like, who's this fraud? That's a gut punch. Why'd you do that here? No, you had to be a jerk here. Like, he looked smooth yesterday there. Oh, this is great.
Yeah. He looked smooth when he first joined the Red Sox.
No, he talked about fear and David Ortiz. Like, I was worried that I see him in, was I going to see him in the cafeteria?
You don't remember the first opening press conference with I just saved all my playoff wins for Boston?
Oh, he's winking at Carrabas.
He's pretty smooth who's that
gonna,
day.
Yeah, he was.
Who's going to sleep in the top bunk?
Pretty smooth that day, Zoe.
Yeah, I guess so. Give it time. Give it time.
See, but then there's Mookie where, again, the flair isn't there. That flash. The game's great. He plays a great game. He doesn't have that personality.
Here
like
we
Price
go again
has.
With the flair I'm just and the flash you. Again. I mean, could you... Never mind. I'm going to stop asking you to explain
it. It's fine. I'm not. It's just... I can't explain it. I can't. He's there.
Yeah, nothing really has ever stood out about Mookie Betts.
I did say that.
Like, what?
See, verbally.
Okay, so what? That guy handled Boston about as well as anybody ever could. That guy never said the wrong thing. And Mookie, you remember a time Mookie Betts said the wrong thing?
Well, maybe yesterday. About his airplane.
All right, let's focus on what I just asked, though. Was there ever a time in the time that he was here that you said, oh, that guy, man, he sounds like a jackass?
No. Or no, not sounds like
a
jackass.
Man, this guy doesn't get it.
No.
Never. Never once did you say that about Mookie Betts. A young player who came in here, apparently, according to Alex Spear's book, took some crap from older players on the team and veterans, and they had sort of like that rookie hazing issue of some sort. Don't know exactly the specifics of it. And just handled himself with professionalism from day one. And you had never had to worry about that guy not getting it or saying the wrong thing or anything like that. That guy was perfect here. That's a rare thing for a really young player like that. Never had a slip up where you thought he sounded out of touch or didn't get it or anything like that. So, okay, if that means he didn't have flash and flair, so be it. Him wearing the Dodger blue yesterday, that was gut punchy.
Yeah.
That's it's one of the I as soon
it's
as
one
I
of the classic,
saw,
you know. Boston's uniform, Yankees uniform, Dodgers uniform, I think maybe St. Louis.
Just any just other uniform. Just doesn't matter. Any other uniform. Any other not a Red Sox uniform. It felt unnatural yesterday. I didn't like it at all.
You know, and you're not looking at him in a Marlins uniform or a right. Brewers. You're looking at him. It's like, LA. Oh, there's a team that's had some success. There's a team that would probably be a good fit for him long term. You could look at him in that uniform yesterday and envision seeing him being successful wearing that same uniform for a long time.
You know what you could see him doing? Strolling into Cooperstown, getting inducted to the Hall of Fame wearing a Dodgers hat.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's going to play there
for what you could see.
10 more years and win a couple of World Series.
That was a little jarring.
Maybe another MVP. Yeah,
David Price, not so much, not jarring. Okay, a couple of clips from the press conference. What do you have, Zoe?
Just the thing with the plane. Like, they were ready to go, just didn't know where the plane was going. Yeah, we got the plane.
With a process like this trade took about a week to complete, and it was so public, how do you sort of cope with that? How do you approach that? How do you deal with just everything that goes along with that?
For me, it was just trying to get a place to live. I mean, I was pretty much doing everything the same. I had a plane set, and I just didn't know which way it was going to go. And so it was fun, you know, kind of stressful at times, but it was fun at times, and glad it got done.
Just all of that. Like, glad it got done, had the plane ready to go, can't wait to find a new place to live. Just, it's like chomping at the bit to leave. That's why I took that.
Well, he knew he was going. He was told probably by his agent.
It feels like a reach.
Was told by the team that they were.
Feels like a reach.
You're being traded. You're gonna be. Don't buy any unripe bananas because that's just gonna be wasted. You just go ahead and sit tight. You'll be
buying peanut butter.
You'll be leaving here in a week's time. We don't know where. I think that's what he's saying.
I thought he was talking about the plane was either going to Fort Myers or it was going to Phoenix. He had a private plane, and it was going one or the other. And the part I had a problem with on that cut was the stressful times. Were the stressful times the times when he thought maybe he was staying in Boston? That's what I took out of that cut, not the airplane part. Was there were stressful times and there were fun times.
What was stressful?
Not knowing where you're going to live. That was what he said. Trying to find a place to live, trying to know where I'm going to be going, where I'm living.
Maybe I'm reaching. I don't know.
It was fun to think. I read that as it was fun to think I was going to L.A., and then it was stressful when it was off.
Then
it was fun again.
Okay, yeah. So the deal gets done, and then wait a minute. They rescinded, right? They pulled back on Brewstar, Gratterall. Now all of a sudden, there's a chance I might not be going. Is it really? Hurry up, call my agent. No, we're going to go. It's the back and forth. That's what he's talking about.
I mean, he was left in limbo for a week.
Is he buddies with Price? Like, good buddies, do you think?
I don't think they're enemies.
No, I don't either. But it didn't seem like he'd be the guy that could fall Price around that locker room or clubhouse.
Whatever. He didn't really seem to be too connected with anybody, right?
Yeah, right.
That's Mookie.
But unlike Jacoby Ellsbury, who didn't seem to be connected
with anybody
and didn't really connect with the town, just by the level of Mookie's play, he makes a connection with the town and with the fan base.
That's fair.
Ellsbury never had it. He was just a nice player. Then he did have his issues, certainly with the media, with his injuries and all that other stuff.
Overvalued. But this guy's not going to be overvalued. That's the thing.
I think Mookie and JBJ were pretty close.
Yeah.
So
you have your cliques. Yeah, Alfredo would hang out. Or Bogarts, too, right?
I don't know that. You'd have to ask one of the beat guys who are there every day. I don't really know.
Abraham would know.
So, I don't know, but I don't think he had any enemies on the team. I think he was pretty well-liked.
Tyler said he was closer to the Swihart Brian Johnson crew.
Oh, were you? Do you know that, Tyler?
Swihart Brian, that's a crew?
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me?
Barnes, too.
Why is he talking?
How the hell is that a crew?
Why are you using your hands again?
Came up together. He's going up.
All right, so you had friends. But Mookie now goes to L.A., and nothing he said caught me yesterday, but Price, man, this guy is something else. Yes, he can shine in an opening press conference like he did here in Boston. But did you hear how laid back? Not so much that he's like happy, just how relaxed he is.
It's going to be chill.
This is a guy who was living on the edge here in Boston for all these years. Very edgy.
They're going to be nice to me out here. Nice market.
They asked him if he was going to be okay with the Hollywood lifestyle. You'll hear that from him on the other side. Because, oh, man. Is he ready? Is he ready to be a Dodger?
Oh, yeah.
He's ready, man.
That guy could sell cars, boy.
More from David Price. Also, Jim Crane, owner of the Astros. We're getting bits and pieces of what he said today. And it's embarrassing for baseball. It's embarrassing for the Houston Astros. And, well, more on that later this hour. Rochie says there could be more dropping today on that front. We'll tell you all that on the way.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Yeah, there was a player this offseason that didn't want to come here because he what he called the Hollywood lifestyle. Have you thought about how you'll adjust to that? Is that any concern of yours at all?
It's not a concern of mine. I'm here to play baseball. My family will be out here. That is a huge part of me, so... The only thing that's changed for me is spring training location and, you know, the front of our jerseys. So I don't think I have to worry about the Hollywood lifestyle. And I've known Mookie for a while as well, and I don't think you have to worry about him either. So he's a very focused individual.
I really enjoyed that one. Hollywood? No, guys, come on. No, I'm not worried at all about that. Not worried at all. I know Mookie, he's very focused too. No, we'll fit in just fine out here in Hollywood. No problem. Nothing's changing for me. Just like boring old Boston. No. It's just got to go to a different spot for spring training. That's the only thing I got to worry about adjusting. We're good. We are good.
Show up and play ball.
He is going to love it there. When David Price is done playing baseball, he's going to tell everyone how L.A. was his favorite team to play for.
I remember.
I don't think I have to worry about the Hollywood lifestyle. And I've known Mookie for a while as well.
Yeah. I remember when Mo Vaughn went out there. It's like, man, intensity out there ain't like it is here.
Nope.
Like, you didn't even know you were. You wouldn't even know you're playing ball out there.
You can get a convertible tank out there.
Whew. Yeah. Just cut the roof off.
Just wait until he buys a home overlooking the ocean.
Must be nice.
Just wait till he's living on Manhattan Beach, okay? Just wait, because he can afford it.
Sure can.
And he's relaxed and feels zero pressure. And when he sucks, if he sucks, he won't hear about it because nobody's going to call him on it. The media is not going to call him. I don't expect everyone to have heard that press conference yesterday, but the media there, soft. Oh man, are they soft?
Yeah.
So soft. They didn't ask a real question that whole night.
Heavy female presence there too for baseball.
I don't know what that has to do with it.
I mean, you don't get a ton of females covering the sport here. Like, look locally. You really don't.
Okay.
I felt like a lot of like TV anchor types.
Oh, okay.
Asking questions.
Yeah.
All I know is that they don't have anyone who's going to challenge David Price when he goes out and lays an egg.
They don't have
Which I don't think is going to happen as often in L.A. because it's just going to be such a relaxed place for David Price. He's going to go out and win the Cy Young out there. You watch.
Oh, my God.
You watch. If he doesn't win it, let's say this. I bet he competes for it. I bet he's in the mix of three or four guys when you get to August that say, oh, he could have a shot or he could have a shot. He's going to be that great there. You wait. He is going to love it. L.A. was made for guys like David Price.
Yeah. Yep.
He's going to have to get a new... Did he get a new dog after Astro passed?
Stop. What do they get?
I feel like those miniature dogs,
yeah,
like those little shih tzus or whatever they are.
Poodles. They get poodles.
Like, what are those little white dogs?
Shih Tzu.
No, they're not Shih Tzu.
Pomeranian?
Yeah, like a Pomeranian. Or he's going to carry one around in a like Dooney and Bork purse.
Yeah, I was going to say
he's going to be walking down Rodeo Drive.
The bikes with the fat tires, yeah, on the beach with the basket in the front.
Yes, exactly. Like, he's going to have an accessory dog, yeah, out there in L.A.
A new dog, and I named it Frisbee. Come on, Frisbee. Come on. Let's go for a walk.
All I can think about is Sunshine Day. Like, David Price, you know, getting on his bike. Yeah. Think I'll go for a walk. Like, hey, that's what it's going to be, his life every day. He's going to love it there.
But try and take yourself out of your Boston roots, right?
Yeah.
If you're David Price, good ball player, not overly competitive, you don't have any ties here, you don't have any reason to necessarily like one city over the other from the outset, you're not from either one, at the end of your career, what are you going to end up liking better? The place where people left me alone and it was sunny 300 yeah. days a year
yeah.
and I didn't wear anything heavier than a hooded sweatshirt? Or the place where everybody hated me and gave me crap all the time, even if I deserved it? And yeah, days like today, half the year. I mean, if you're
what is this? It's a fourth team,
great.
Right?
LA was great. I made a lot. I made the same money. It was beautiful every day and people didn't care. It was awesome.
Nice colors. I love blue. Sky was blue.
Ocean was blue.
I spent my whole day.
I mean, some people hate LA and just hate driving around in there and stuff, but have you spent time out there?
Not enough to know it.
Yeah.
You've spent time.
It's nice.
Do you hate it?
No.
I don't hate it.
No.
Oral Hershiser not going to give him the Eck treatment on TV?
Oh, God.
Oh, absolutely not. Is he on every broadcast?
I don't think every game. I think I've seen a Rick Monday I see on there, too.
But a lot. He's on there a lot, like Eck is here.
Dude, I rented a yellow Viper and I drove Pacific Coast Highway from L.A. down to San Diego. It was the best drive I ever had in my life. It's gorgeous.
Going to take my armored vehicle, go down the coast.
Nomar does pre and post.
Perfect.
With my Shih Tzu hanging out the window.
Yeah. She's so cute.
He and Nomar can commiserate on the terrible times in Boston.
He's going to love it there.
We lick peanut butter together.
He's going to love it. He's going to think it is wonderful there, and he's going to thrive because of it. That's the type of environment that he will thrive in.
What do you think, baseball boy, intern boy? Is he going to thrive? Yep. Did you hear he was driving with Big Nate? Nate was listening to Stacy. He goes, they love me there. What'd he say? What did Nate say? Speak, Tyler.
He doesn't have a microphone.
Give him a microphone.
He said just exactly what you just said. He said,
yep. He said, Nate looks at him and he goes, they like me there.
Richie's that's in Boston. Richie.
There's something weird about him, man.
Richie, you there?
Rich!
Yes.
Go ahead.
How you guys doing?
How you think?
Fine. Thank you.
So I just wanted to the trade of Mookie Betts, David Price, and what the Red Sox got. I feel like people aren't giving the Red Sox what they deserve because I think Alex Verdugo is very good. He batted .294 last year, had 100 hits, 22 doubles, 12 triples, and 12 dingers in 106 games. And as we know, the Dodgers were loaded last year. So I just think that this guy's got a lot of upside. And then getting Jeter Downs and Connor Wong was also good for the Red Sox.
So you think people should be more complimentary of the Red Sox return?
Unbelievable.
I don't know.
I think the guy's from Baltimore. Did you hear that? Loaded. They were loaded last year.
So you lose your best player and your best pitcher.
I've given them credit. I thought they got a decent return this week.
They got better return than what they got initially.
They didn't get nothing. It's just
I think they did okay. Mookie Betts only has a year to go. Dodgers don't get any guarantee of anything. By the way, a tweet from Pedro Martinez.
Oh.
Says that Andrew Friedman fell in love with Mookie Betts as a prospect. He tried to acquire him last July. He planted the seed of a Betts trade with Boston's GM when he still worked elsewhere.
Oh.
Here's why Friedman and the Dodgers wanted Betts and David Price so badly. And then I said Pedro Martinez. I meant to say Pedro Mora, obviously. I said Pedro Martinez.
Oh, we like Pedro. I know. Everything is going to be all right.
That was his story in The Athletic. That Friedman told
Bloom
before Bloom was even here. Hey, if you get that Boston job, you got to trade me Betts. What? How does that work?
Yeah, it's tampering. Like,
well, he was already talking to the Red Sox. Wait, he was talking to the Red Sox last July, right?
Yes.
So I wonder how serious that got. The Red Sox knew at that point. So that's 100% confirmed as an ownership deal. And not a Bloom deal.
Well, that it's not Bloom doing it, that it was... Well, no, it doesn't. It doesn't confirm
ownership
that.
Ownership directive.
It doesn't confirm that.
Why would they be willing to even talk Mookie Betts last July if they weren't already convinced that they were too far apart?
Maybe they didn't. Just because Andrew Freed called the Red Sox doesn't mean that they engaged in the talks.
That's true, but that makes it sound like they were talking.
Well, Andrew Friedman was talking. He tried to trade for him, and they didn't trade him. And we never heard of it. We never heard of any discussions that were going on then. You'll hear from Jim Crane coming up. Also, Rochi from Toucher and Rich this morning says there could be more about to drop on Alex Cora and Carlos Beltran. You'll hear it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, next week, early next week, and then it'll all be out there, and we'll go from there. I think I told you guys this yesterday. I think there's going to be another story coming out from the Wall Street Journal that makes Carlos Beltran and Alex Cora look bad. So
I think it came out yesterday, didn't it? Because, man, there's so many. They're tough to keep track of now.
I think there's another one that's coming, though. So maybe I'm wrong, Rich. Maybe I missed that one.
What's it going to say? Like, what are you hearing? You make them look bad?
Just some emails and things like that were sent around, and maybe not the entire email in its entirety and things like that. So I just heard that it might be one of those things that might make Beltran and Core looked bad because of what happened with that last article where Luna, the general manager, looked bad. Everyone's trying to blame everybody else. Yeah, that's what it's come down to.
Stan Roach with Toucher and Rich earlier today. Rochi's hearing that another Wall Street Journal story is coming. And this will be the one that goes after Cora and after Beltran with emails printed.
I hate
that's
when I
never
that.
Good.
No.
That's never good.
Print is always bad. Or I heard this, or she said, supposedly, or to my understanding, but here's the email.
Just read it. That's when you nail your balls to the walls. That's it. Done. And that's the one that could be damning for him, especially a guy like Cora.
Oh, because things haven't been damning enough for him to this
point?
No,
but I'm saying if he's off scot-free and nothing happened here, then there's a possibility he could be back as manager next year. I don't think they should do it. I think it's a bad look. But if that door to them is still open, maybe this thing is the one that really shuts it.
Portions of emails.
What's that mean? That you're going to take a black...
Good. Oh. That's not good.
They're redacted.
Yeah, or you're going to see part of it blacked out for... to protect the other party. Don't put it in print. Why would you put it in print?
I don't know. I don't know. Why would you text? Why would you email?
Put the monitor in a room next to clubhouse. Make sure the man out in center field has zoomed in portion of plate to see catcher's hand.
Don't put it in print.
Make sure you put in expense report for 42-inch TV you bought yesterday for... watching shows, LOL.
Tell them a player accidentally hit it with a portion of their bat, and that's why it's broken.
Don't do that.
So we'll get ready for this now.
That's pretty good detail by Roach.
More news. Pretty more bad details. News yeah. For Alex Cora and Carlos Beltran. More of that on the way from the Wall Street Journal. Roachy seems offended that everyone's trying to blame everybody else. That's how you get the information. People start spilling on each other. Oh, well, yeah, you're going to tell them about this. I'm going to tell them about what I know about you. That's how it all sort of starts to see the light of day, because we can't trust baseball to do that.
Just look at the steroid scandal. That's how that all happened.
Right. Everyone starts blaming each other. Perfect. That's how you find out what actually happened. Thanks. Dan Roach will join us coming up at what time is he?
1:35.
2 hours from now.
It's all sunshine and roses down there, huh?
I guess not. Rochy will join us. Jim Crane, meanwhile, with the Astros, reportedly had a meeting yesterday with his players to advise them on how to handle questions about all the cheating that's gone on there. And he's had a press conference today. We got anything from that in off fresh off the wire?
You know, our opinion is, you know, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
It didn't impact the game? Really, Jim? You don't think it impacted the game?
Well, he was asked to follow up on that.
Okay.
Jim, when talking about the Yankees there, did you say you feel like this didn't impact the game? And what do you mean by that?
I didn't say it didn't impact the game. You know, our opinion is, you know, that this didn't impact the game. I didn't say it didn't impact the game.
I didn't put my feet up on his couch.
Yeah, I put my feet up on his couch.
What?
Buy another one.
What?
No, yeah, I'm sorry, Jim, but not to be a stickler, you absolutely 100% said 10 seconds ago, it's our opinion that it didn't impact the game.
Jesus.
In fairness, we edited it. It was like 40 seconds in between.
Less than a minute ago.
But you just said, and when I say just, I mean here today, moments ago, that your opinion, here it is with the opinions again. The opinions. In our opinion, they looked around and they didn't find it. Oh, in our opinion, we agree with that not being punished any more than we already have. Well, your opinion doesn't count for anything.
This didn't impact the game. I didn't say it didn't impact the game.
Whoops.
What's the rest of that answer? I didn't say that it didn't impact the game. I'm just saying that, you know, I would love to hear how he tries to reverse course on that one.
Well, who goes after him? Is it Marley Gonzalez?
Marley Rivera,
excuse me.
Excuse me. Here's how you ask that question.
Oh, yeah, what do you got?
Jim, a minute ago, you said, in our opinion, it didn't impact the game. Doesn't knowing what pitch is coming impact the game? I mean, because normally you don't. That's why they had the sign.
I didn't say it didn't impact the game.
Yeah, yes, you did. How does not knowing what pitch is coming not impact the game?
Didn't your manager break two monitors because it wasn't working properly? Didn't he destroy?
I understand that doesn't. Actually, that impacts the game. That puts it back maybe on a more level playing field.
Yeah.
But that impacts the game in a positive way. The cheating way, though. Then why do it? If it doesn't impact the game, then why do it?
I guess it was really, you know, I haven't been able to watch it. It just happened about an hour ago. But everything I've read about this press conference that happened there was really bad. That it went really poorly for the team.
How do you think it was going to go?
Bregman read a statement, by the way, as well. We'll get to that. Can we hear?
It's like when A-Rod read his statement.
Bregman and Altuve each read like minute-long statements.
Oh, I'm sure that was great.
And then it was Jim Crane the rest of the time. And apparently Dusty Baker gave the best apology of all. And he wasn't even there.
All right, so what did Marley Rivera do to take him to task?
You want that one first or do you want the accountability one?
Oh, what's the accountability part? Let's hear that.
You empowered those guys. You hired those guys. You set the culture for the organization. Should you have been punished as well?
Well, clearly the report states that I didn't know about it. Had I known about it, I certainly would have done something about it. I did hire Jeff, and I think Jeff did a lot of great things for the organization over the years. I don't think I should be held accountable. I'm here to correct it, and I'm here to take this team forward with Dusty and James. And as I said, it won't happen again on my watch.
Another guy there who believes the report. Him and Hinge. Two peas in a pod.
Well, it says in the report that I didn't know anything about it, and
I believe the report.
They did that report. That report was printed. It was typed,
disseminated,
and then printed. I read it on my computer, but it's there. Wasn't me. These guys are unbelievable.
So he takes zero accountability for anything that happened there. Marley Rivera goes after him for this.
Jim, sign stealing is a distinct advantage for the hitter.
So how is it that it doesn't affect competition? So then what are you guys apologizing for?
Well, damn it.
We're apologizing because we broke the rules.
But isn't sign stealing a distinct advantage for the hitter, so doesn't it automatically impact competition?
It could possibly do that. It could possibly not.
Okay, guys, we're going to wrap up. Thank you, Dusty. Thank you, Jim.
She would have been better off sticking to one or the other because she said, you said it's not an advantage, but knowing what pitch is coming, how is that not an advantage? So what do you apologize? Stop with the apology. No.
She asked it a second time.
Yeah.
She kicked his ass and ended the press conference. I'm not going to quibble with that. Like, come on. She did a great job.
Or combine the two this way. If it's not an if it didn't change the outcome, what are you apologizing for?
Okay, guys, we're going to wrap up. Thank you, Dusty. Thank you, Jim.
Okay, that's enough of this. We got real questions coming in here. Eject.
And aren't the rules in place so you don't gain an unfair advantage? I mean, that it's like dueling with words against a six-year-old. The guy's got no defense, zero defense. Of course there's an advantage. What are we, idiots?
Yes.
Yeah. We're supposed to sit here and be spoken to like idiots, and you're going to end the press conference? Oh, baseball.
Bregman, I want to hear Bregman, because I don't like that guy to begin with.
Yeah.
Bregman, he's always got a lot to say, and now we're finally going to hear from him? Yeah, we could play that next. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Zulak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Alex Bregman, Houston Astro, was a part of that press conference down there today that apparently went very poorly for the Astros. Seeing a lot of coverage on it here in the last hour. What's Bregman got for us today? This guy never stops talking. He's always got something to say. What now?
Thank you, Jim. I have some brief remarks that I'd like to share with y'all. I'm really sorry about the choices that were made by my team, by the organization, and by me. I've learned from this, and I hope to regain the trust of baseball fans. I would also like to thank the Astros fans for all of their support. We as a team are totally focused on moving forward to the 2020 season. Thank you.
Thank you all for coming.
Thank you all for coming. We'd like to move forward as quickly as we can.
There are pots of coffee and finger sandwiches in the back. Thank you.
It's like when A-Rod read his statement after his PDs.
What is that? Oh, he's been muted. I'm really sorry. And for the choices
that I made.
The team made. What?
Thank you.
Just not coming down on the players, huh?
Why did they have them do this?
Yeah, if they're not guilty. Like, or it didn't really affect
them. Well, they don't think it impacted the game.
Right.
Wow. That's brutal.
You want Altuve? Altuve spoke right after.
Oh, yes.
It was back to back.
How's your buzzer?
How's your shirt? Altuve. How's your shirt?
To the 2020 season. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim, and thank you, Alex. I also will be brief. We had a great team meeting last night, and I want to say that the whole Astros organization and the team feel bad about what happened in 2017. We especially feel remorse for the impact in our fans and the game of baseball. And our team is determined to move forward, to play with intensity, and to bring back a championship to Houston in 2020. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Jose. Thank you, Alex. You guys can head back to the clubhouse.
Oh, you guys are all set. Well, there you go. That's a wrap.
Go back to your room.
You guys go back to your room before any of these people out here start asking questions.
Why are they apologizing to their fans? Like, if you as a fan were there for that great ride and that run and that parade and everything, you're not taking those memories away. I think if your team's cutting the corners or doing something, you sort of defend your team.
Well, that's what they do here in New England.
You should be offended.
That's what Patriots
do. You should be apologizing to the Dodgers or the Yankees or somebody else's fan base. Or who the hell was the pitcher from the Yankees that faced him at the end? He took yard.
Chapman.
Aroldis Chapman. Standing there smiling, all sweaty. Sorry to you there, chubby face guy. Because we had the answers to the test. What are you apologizing to your fan base for? They were along for the ride. That place was rocking.
I think that's good. I think it's good that they apologize to their fans. They should. You cheapened what is that you won in 2017. There are real questions about whether they would win without this scheme. Yeah. So you've cheapened what it is that they thought they had.
Yeah, those games
fans.
Were tight. Those games were tight.
Yeah, they sure were.
Yeah.
You know, our opinion is, that this didn't impact the game.
Oh, there you go.
Great. Bill's in Framingham. Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys. Hey, I think this is going to be the worst attendance for the Red Sox and the worst TV ratings in the last 20 years because of this trade, this uninspired hiring of this manager, the right. cheating, the whole nine yards. I don't feel any excitement at all in the air about the, here we go, baseball season's going to start. I don't feel it from anybody.
That'll ramp up around opening day, and I think opening day kind of takes the home opener always takes care of itself. It's kind of an exciting time, but it may be less than other years. But of the two, the place is banged out. Tickets are available on secondary market. They're sold out. That's not going to bug them. What will bug them is TV ratings. That's what they care about.
What better happen is they can't be a mediocre team because they'll be treated like they're a poor team. By this fan base, if you're just mediocre, and people will just—they'll tune out of this team. They're not interested in this team anymore.
Okay, the worst year of attendance in the last 20 years. Do you want me to take it back to the year 2000 to make this easy? Okay, let's do that. 31,929. 31,925 is the worst. Average attendance per game at Fenway Park since the year 2000. That was in the year 2000 that it was at 31,925. Do you think they will average above or below 31,925? I believe they will average above.
Still have talent. They're still going to win games.
Yeah, that and the league is so bad.
They're not going to be terrible. They're not going to be the worst team in the league.
You're not a bottom
wins
dweller.
Wins games.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, but is this going to be 2012 last place finish? I don't think so. They're not that bad, right?
Well, I don't think you can always base it on the roster. 2012, I don't think they should have been as bad as they were. Like, that's part of it, too.
They probably should have never won
in 2013. They shouldn't have been as good as they
right,
were.
They shouldn't
have been as good as they were in 2018.
I don't think there's a way you look at the roster in February and say the team should be X, Y, or Z.
Right.
You know, and have it always come to fruition. I think more often than not with this team, it feels like this roller coaster. There have been years where they've finished with bad records, and you say, this team had no business finishing with a record that bad.
Right.
Right?
So 84 is the over-under for wins.
Hmm.
You guys going over or under?
I don't know yet.
I think we'll get through spring training, see how Chris looks.
Does he have pneumonia still?
84.
All right, we can revisit it spring training, but right now, what are you thinking?
Like they
just
they,
gut feeling.
They'll be like an 85 win team.
I think they'll be above 500.
Well, that's not saying anything.
Above 500 is 82.
Well, like barely. Like 83, 84, 85, somewhere there. Yeah.
Well, that's anywhere from 82 to up.
What they win last year? 85? 62.
What they win last year? How many did they win last year?
It was right around there.
Yeah, weren't they at 83,
84 last year?
They were an 84-win team a year ago.
84.
The reasonable answer is to say under. They're not as good. They lost
their best player, and a starter that, think of David Price what you will, they need guys who can get out there with some consistency. You can't say that about Chris Sale right now.
Like, Jim, did we know they were going to finish in last place in 14 and 15?
No.
No, we had no idea that was coming. So,
I think 14 you would have said under, though.
Would you have said 71 wins? What was the over-under going into that?
Not by that many.
No, exactly. But, yeah. So I just don't know. But here's the thing. Attendance-wise, what were they? I'll tell you right now. In 2014, they finished last. And then in 2015, when they came back, they still averaged close to, they averaged 35,564. They will not have the worst attendance in the last 20 years this season. They will not. I don't believe their attendance will suffer. TV ratings, that's
different.
Up and down. Yep. It could suffer for sure. Yep.
I can see them taking a dive there. Yeah. If you don't come out of the gate, you're not playing well, it's all about buzz, man.
Stan is in Medfield. Hey, Stan.
Hey.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, bud?
What's up?
All right. So baseball has always been my love, and what the Astros did, it disgusts me. I mean, it's the one part of the game where you're trying to hit a baseball. That's the whole point of the game. You can't hit a baseball. When you take that away from a pitcher, it just ruins the game for me. But if I was that starting pitcher day one of the Major League Baseball season and those nine players walked up to that plate, I'd drill every single one of them in the ribs. And I'd send a message to them and let them know, you didn't just cheat. You ruined the game of baseball for multiple seasons doing this. And then to get up there yesterday and you guys just played it and they're like, oh, we're just going to be short. You're going to be short.
I thought exactly the same thing. I thought exactly the same thing. Are these guys going to get thrown at?
Stan, are you a Red Sox fan?
I actually am not. I'm a Yankees fan. But if Pedro was pitching, you know Pedro would have drilled Bregman first play. You know Randy Johnson would have drilled Bregman. Altuve, they would have got it right in the ribs, and they deserve it. They ruined the game of baseball for the last 3 years. I get it. Other teams are probably doing it, but there's a point of the game.
Yes, and I think everyone should feel the same way about Alex Cora. Should feel the same way about him, which is why the Red Sox should not entertain the idea of bringing him back. Ever.
And the problem with going up there and just drilling guys on the Astros, you know, you want to, you know, send some kind of message across baseball. It's still a pretty good team, cheating or not. You want to automatically just put guys on base, you know, every series that
you
start against them.
I could see the Astros getting drawn into a bunch of fights this year.
Early in the year, especially early in the year.
I can see it too, but if you're...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.